Grace and peace from God our Father and from
our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, the Bible days. Can you imagine being one of the sons of the prophets standing there looking down on the River Jordan? There's Elijah and Elisha. And all of a sudden, a golden chariot with fiery horses comes down out of heaven. A whirlwind catches up Elijah, and he's gone. Wow. The Bible days. Can you imagine being on the Mount of Transfiguration? You're standing there and all of a sudden it gets cloudy. And then it gets really bright. Jesus is shining like a halogen light bulb. Just big 6-foot halogen light bulb in front of you. And then there's Moses. I'm not sure how they knew it was Moses. Was he holding 10 commandments? I don't know. But they knew. And Elijah. Maybe he still was smoking from being in that chariot. I don't know. But they knew it was Moses and they knew it was Elijah talking to Jesus. And Jesus was obviously more than a man, more than a prophet. He was God. Now that happened, though, in the Bible days for us. And for every generation of Christians following, because Jesus was transfigured for us. And the word of the prophets is for us, that we might believe it and be saved. Jesus was transfigured because he has something to reveal to us. The Lutherans put this festival in a different place than all the other Christians. The other Christians celebrate the Transfiguration in August. But Lutherans, as they put the lectionary together, could see the value of this teaching about this event fitting in so well with all the themes of Epiphany that begins with the star above the manger that led the wise men all the way through Jesus' baptism, his teaching, his miracles, and finally, this day before he goes down the mountain to climb another mountain, the cross of Calvary. We need to know that this is God's Son doing this. Not just another fellow with a strong message and a strong mission. His divinity needs to be sure in us. Just as Elisha was so sure that the word that Elijah spoke was a word from God. We have to know. But Peter knew it because Peter said in his epistle, we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And look what Paul says in our epistle lesson. The glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. And ourselves as your servants. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now that has to be sure in us. And it has to be kept secret. There is a sense in which we are not supposed to tell everybody everything we know about God. There's a story of that Billy Graham loved to tell and remember. He was at a crusade in Canada, in Nova Scotia, some years ago, and his colleague Leighton Ford was preaching at one of the early services they have before the big crusade. And Billy Graham put on his sunglasses and a hat and was just checking out the crowd a little bit, and he went and sat on the grass in the infield by another man, and nobody recognized him. And when Leighton Ford got to the point where, as Baptists do, they call people forward to proclaim their decision for Christ. That's a big deal in Baptist theology, a decision for Christ. Anyway, he calls people forward, and Billy Graham leans over to the guy and says, "Are you a Christian? Would you like to go forward with me? I'll go down with you if you want to." And the old man looked him up and down and thought it over for a moment. He says, "Nah, I think I'll just wait till tomorrow night, until the big gun comes." The big gun was Billy Graham himself. But Billy Graham didn't tell this guy. He kept that story secret because it's about Jesus. It's not about Billy Graham. And Mr. Graham knew that. And so there's a time when our witness is about Jesus, and that's the time that we speak. We speak with the soul of the recipient in mind. Many times Christians stand up very strong for their faith. They shine very brightly, but they end up offending people because they appear or treat people as though we are holier than thou, with a holier than thou attitude. And that doesn't work. This is what works. The law of God convicts us of our sins. And the gospel of God brings us the comfort that there's forgiveness for those sins by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And if that isn't how it works, the person isn't going to believe. Even though they might already be a believer. But the law does the same thing to us. It points us back to our need for God. And then the gospel turns our hearts to God and offers us the free forgiveness there. Jesus has something to reveal to us. And we hold it inside until that time, until that day, when it's right for the gospel to be proclaimed. Jesus was also transfigured for us because he wanted to bring us to those moments. He wanted to empower us. We know that we want him. Well, Elisha did anyway. Elisha definitely wanted the prophet's spirit. He didn't want to be parted from Elijah. He didn't want him to go away. And so when Elijah said, "Stay here, I'm going on to Bethel," he was probably just going to go and say goodbye to the prophets that were his colleagues and shared the message. "Goodbye, I'm going to Jericho. Goodbye, I'm going to the Jordan." Every single time Elisha said, "No, no, you don't. You're not going without me. I'm coming along." And every time the prophets knew that Elisha was going to go away. And they said to Elisha, "Do you know?" And Elisha said, "Yeah, I know." What if today was the last day that you could read your Bible? Maybe tomorrow you're going to have an operation and it might not succeed on your eyes and you can't read your Bible anymore. Or they pass a law that after Family Day 2012, there will be no more Bibles allowed in Canada. Everyone has to turn their Bible in and they'll be destroyed. What would you do? How would you feel? Would that make you want to hold on to the Bible all that more and read it till midnight tonight? Well, we know Elisha wanted not only to follow in his friend's footsteps and not just to hang on to him, but he said, I would like a double portion of your spirit. Now, a double portion in the Hebrew culture was to say, I want to be the firstborn. I want to be in your shoes as the preeminent prophet of God on earth. And it was a lot to ask. And so Elijah said, I can't tell you that you're going to get that. But we'll wait and see what happens. And I know that if you see me go to heaven, you will get it. But if you don't see me go to heaven, I don't think you're going to get it. You see, we're each given a time and a place to proclaim that the good news of salvation is in Jesus Christ. It's not just going to work out or be okay. It's going to only work in Jesus Christ. When Moses and Elijah disappeared, it was only Jesus. For he was the one that had to ascend the cross and die. And he has to be the one because he's the only way to the Father that people are going to find a way to heaven. But if that gospel is ours, it will give us power like you can't believe. Martin Buber tells the story of his grandfather. His grandfather was lame. And when he was an old man and couldn't walk, somebody asked him to tell the story of his teacher. And he loved to tell the story of his teacher. And Martin Buber, who is a Jewish philosopher, writes that when his grandfather told the story of his teacher, he got to the part where the teacher would stand up and hop and dance as he prayed. And it was so thrilling for him to think about his teacher that he had to demonstrate it. And so he got up out of his chair and hopped and danced as his teacher had done. And all of a sudden, he wasn't lame anymore. Oh, how the gospel empowers us. It empowers us, and you'll see when the time comes for you to share it with someone else, as I have, the gospel comes with power. And it just comes out of us. Now somebody might say to me, I'm not able to tell. And so I would say to you, you will be empowered when it's time to tell. Somebody might say to me, I have told someone already about Jesus. And I would say, well done. Now pray for the message to continue to work in that person and to grow. And pray for a chance to enhance it with another telling. Somebody might say, I lost my chance. I had a chance to share the gospel and I kept my mouth shut and I should have said something and I didn't. And I would say, God forgives you, pray for another chance. Or pray for someone else to have a chance to share the gospel with that person. Some might say, I was rejected when I shared the gospel. It didn't work at all. And Jesus says to you, blessed are you. In the Sermon on the Mount, he begins that. Blessed are you who are rejected and persecuted. And someone might say, I did share it. And I was happier then. I was happier than the person I shared it to. Because God's power was there for me. Jesus was transfigured for you and for me. He was transfigured for us so that we would know he's God through the witness of Peter, James, and John, and so that we would be empowered at the right time and at the right place to tell how we have seen God's Son active and alive in us. In Jesus' name, amen.